The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer. Season 3, Episode 3 features Lori Good, CMO of Index Exchange, in conversation with Justin Cook, Chairman of Demand Exchange.
I am absolutely delighted to be joined today on The Business Marketing. So if you could introduce yourself.
Oh, I sure will. Thank you first for having me. I'm Lori Good. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer at Index Exchange. So I am responsible for marketing globally, but I also have a few other roles within the company. I lead the learning and development teams, as well as the executive lead for both sustainability and for diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging.
Wow. What an incredible array of roles.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So first of all, tell me just a little bit about Index. Why do you exist and what problems do you look to solve?
So Index Exchange has been around for over 20 years. It's an ad technology platform, and it's evolved in that 20 years. Our founder started the company at a really early age. He was actually not even a teenager, I would say, when he started to become really interested in web publishing, actually, in developing content for the web. Back when, if any of the listeners remember GeoCities, as the first kind of websites, that's when he started to realize that websites could be valuable and that content could be distributed at mass scale. And so he, in some effect, became a content creator and publisher when he was really young. I'm going to fast forward many years, but he became really obsessed with thinking about, when he was a publisher, not having a really great set of solutions that catered to publishers that allowed them to make the most revenue they possibly could so that they could continue to make their content free and they could make that publicly available. So if you think about the World Wide Web and all of the great access to content that we have across publishers and news sites, that's what he became obsessed with. He developed an ad network called Casale Media. And then a few years back, when real-time bidding started to become more in vogue, I would say, he started to read the writing on the wall. This is going to programmatic, and the IO-based way of buying media is probably going to die. And so he shifted the business model to programmatic buying. And that's a really big deal. It's a really big, I think, swing in the direction of understanding where the industry is headed, and then how do we evolve our business model to make it as efficient, as scalable, and as future-facing as possible. So Index Exchange today is a sell-side platform, which basically means that we still represent media owners and experience makers, whether that's broadcasters, streaming TV providers, still web-based publishers, or even mobile app developers. And we help them to monetize their inventory, and we do that at incredible scale. So from a technology perspective, we process about 500 billion transactions a day. And so that's a massive scale if you think about even Visa and what they process in a year. In 2023, Index processes almost more than double what Visa processes in a year. And so it's operating at massive scale. So buyers, ad agencies, marketers can bid on inventory that they're really interested in. And then we process that in real time in an auction.
Wow. And you and your career to date, sort of bring me up to speed with how kind of you got to where you are.
Well, I was in restaurants before I was in advertising, but I did find advertising and digital advertising specifically in the very early days where digital was not well understood. And I started out in ad trafficking. I was trafficking ad campaigns, moved into media planning and strategy, and then I ended up on the ad technology side and got really obsessed with how things were measured and delivered and what that cycle looked like end to end from a marketing perspective. And then I ended up in product marketing. And product marketing is really where I started to think about go-to-market, customer value, understanding customer needs and how to articulate that in a simple way to them. And that led into all other marketing functions. So I was at Microsoft Advertising when I started in product marketing. I moved to Facebook, which is now Meta, but I was there when it was still baby Facebook. And then I moved to Amazon and I led marketing and training before I moved to Index for the Amazon ads business.
Wow. I mean, that's an incredible career. And this, tell me about sort of, you know, how you've brought sort of, you know, kind of all of that sort of experience to the role that you're kind of performing now.
Interestingly, I've thought about that a little bit because even when I was in the restaurant business, the things that I owned in the restaurant business were training of internal teams. I owned the Secret Shopper program, which was really about understanding customer experience and then how to optimize that customer experience. And then I owned marketing for, you know, even writing menu copy and wine list copy and things like that. And so if I think about the things that I've naturally gravitated towards in every role I've had, it's those things. Thinking about the customer and how do we give customers the experience that they need and deserve. And then that's how do we then scale and articulate and deliver that value to them so they understand it. And then how do you train the teams and everyone else who are delivering that experience to them? That to me is what I've done in almost every role, no matter what role I've held.
And talk to me about sort of the relationship between the various kind of aspects of kind of what sort of makes Index kind of tick. Like how do you like to kind of set up your org? How do you work with kind of other parts of the business?
It depends on the need, I would say. So I think from what I think what makes Index tick, it's very ingrained in our DNA. So I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the core values of Index. So there are five core values: support each other, it matters, launching is fun, it's the landing that counts. There are multiple core values that Indexers live and breathe every single day. We hire against those core values. They're in performance reviews. They're how we articulate what we see behavior-wise and action-wise within the company. And so in a lot of ways, I've structured some of my team around behaviors that we like to see within the company that then translate to success for Index and almost a code for how we operate.
And the relationship between sales and product and marketing?
Always an interesting one, no matter what company I've worked for. I think one of the interesting things is part of my role coming into Index in 2020 was to stand up a product marketing organization. And coming in during the pandemic was a first for many, but we were all work from home. And so I think in some ways, when I look back on my time in the beginning, I realized the impact the pandemic had on me being able to move faster and some of the decisions that I needed to make around our organization. And so we were really heavily events. I think Index was a heavily event-driven marketing organization pre-pandemic. And obviously in the pandemic, that went away. And so really thinking about how do you then adapt your strategy to start to bolster some other channels to effectively reach your audiences. And that was a challenge for everyone at the time. You know, I think everyone went to webinars and to events that were delivered virtually. And then everyone got sick of going to all of those webinars and virtual events. And so I think most people in our market were really trying to adapt and experiment with new ways of reaching their customer. And so from my perspective coming in, the product marketing org, again, it was trying to shift behavior virtually across product teams, engineering teams, commercial teams, and even our existing marketing team to show them a different way of doing things. And that took time to build. It took time. It was, you know, without product marketing, sometimes it's product straight to commercial. Hey, we have a product and it's launching today. Let me tell you about it really quickly. And so we stood up a bunch of processes to get us from inception, product roadmap, thinking about what we're building, and involving product marketing early on, and product marketing then serving as a really nice liaison to inform the commercial teams on a regular basis. Here's what's coming and when, and who needs to care about this? What do you need to communicate to your customers? And then as a liaison with the rest of the marketing team, how are we going to promote something? What channels should we involve? And so in some ways, I think that function is really critical for any company or business to have to help quarterback and become sort of a translation layer between these teams so that we are timed with when we talk about something, how we talk about something, the value it adds, the way it's positioned, and who needs to hear about it, and then all of the channels that can support it afterwards.
And how's the sales and sort of buying kind of journey evolved? You know, you mentioned COVID there and the rapid kind of, you know, pivot to kind of the only mode of kind of delivery at that point for as a channel. How's that kind of evolved, and how has the kind of buying committee evolved along with that?
The buying committee being the customers?
Yeah.
Oh, good one. So I think from an internal perspective, I think we've just gotten a lot more mature and experienced around how we go to market with products. And because I wasn't at Index pre-pandemic, I can't speak for the before times, mm-hmm. I guess, versus the after times. But what I would say is, in the past couple of years, at least since we've been back in offices, I have witnessed a maturity and growth of the people at Index, raising the bar, if you will, of the new people that are coming in and people who are ready to go. You know, I think it's, you know, people who are in the seat and in the seat because they see the vision in the future and they want to be on the rocket ship. And that has its own momentum. That has its own life cycle of getting everyone on board and the excitement being contagious and everyone excited about bringing things to market and working together. And so we've put structure within that to train certain days, to get information out. And so there is more, I would say, organization around how we speak to customers and when that begins with the go-to-market life cycle and then sort of anoints different teams, different individuals to be out in market with customers. I think from a customer buying perspective, it remains complex. Mm-hmm. We have a number of different types of customers. Index, we work with media owners. And so again, that could be web publishers, broadcasters, streaming TV providers, mobile app developers. But we also work with demand side platforms. And so that's the technology that agencies interface with our technology. And so that's a whole other constituency on the technical side. And then ad agencies are a huge part of our business. And, you know, without the people buying the inventory, we are not selling any inventory. So that's where the buy side and the sell side really need to come together. And then even further upstream from that, there are brands. And we also have a huge ecosystem of partners, technology partners that we're integrated with, that we have co-services with. And so our customer set, you could argue, is the entire ecosystem. And then there are various personas, you know, decision makers, people who may not be technically decision makers but are using the platform every day that you have to influence and sort of win over with your brand.
And how do you reflect that in your kind of outbound activity and comms?
It's really close alignment with the commercial teams. So I think what we consistently try to do is understand from commercial teams and leaders, what are your priorities? Where do you think the growth is going to come from? Is it coming from, you know, and where are you seeing blockers? And so if their blocker is, you know, agency A isn't buying, you know, through the right DSP or through to Index, what do we need to do with agency A? If it's on the publisher side, that's a different team. So we work with the commercial leaders backwards from the goals in revenue and then develop plans that will help us to reach those specific audience cohorts. And we do often have to split them up. I mean, we're here at Advertising Week. Everyone is here from all sides of the business. And so in some cases, like this one, we can reach a lot of different types of customers at once. But when we think about email programs or even some types of event program customer experiences, we do think about these different cohorts individually and what they need to hear and when.
And when you're looking at sort of performance and trying to understand, you know, this very complicated landscape that you've kind of, complex, I should say, sort of landscape that you're kind of navigating, how do you like to measure and what metrics do you kind of live by?
That's one thing that I spent a lot of time on when I came to Index. At Amazon, it is
baked in.
Probably the biggest thing. It's one of the biggest and best things that you learn. We measured literally everything. And it wasn't measuring for measuring's sake. Most of the time, it was measuring to optimize or to make business cases for additional resources. Whatever it was, we used a lot of data. And coming to Index, there wasn't as much emphasis on measuring marketing output or activity. So that's probably one of the first things I looked at, because, you know, the first thing you naturally would think of is, what are the metrics? Let's see how we're doing performance-wise on the website or email programs. And so what we have done over the past couple of years is really stood up. I mean, we had to build it from scratch, but we measure most aspects of the website and sessions and new users versus returning and time spent on the site and user journeys. We look at our social media across all of the different channels and measure, you know, engagements and views, impressions, followers, and things like that. Emails, of course, we measure if we do webinars. And then from an event standpoint, we measure everything from meeting room utilization. So if we paid money for a meeting room, we're going to measure how how much that meeting room is used.
Wow, that's percentage. The first time I've ever heard that. Oh, that's amazing. I love it.
It gets, you know, I'm sure at first people are like, okay, she's a little fanatical about some of this measurement, but from a planning perspective, it really is helpful, not only from a how much do we spend next year. You know, if you ask the question, how big should our space be? Well, I'm going to look at how many people did we send? How many meetings did we have? How many people were in those meetings? How useful were the rooms? And so what is the cost per attendee? What's the cost per indexer? And that helps to inform our planning in the future. And I think that going back to your question about commercial teams and product teams and cross-team collaboration, it also helps create a picture for our partners, you know, in commercial that say, hey, we should have a bigger space next year. And then you say, well, you didn't use the space we had to the extent that you could have. Here's the data that shows that. How can we partner together so that you're hitting your goals, but we're also spending in a responsible way? So that those are some of the metrics we look at. And then we do deeper dive campaign reports depending on, you know, what we're trying to land from a messaging perspective.
And for you, what's inside the stack? Like how, give me a kind of a picture of kind of what does the stack look like that you use? What do you live by? What do you work by? What's inside?
From the marketing side? So we use, Salesforce is a big one, obviously. It's big across the commercial teams. I would say the full marketing team isn't in it every day. Mm-hmm. But we use Salesforce connected into our email programs, which is Marketo. And then we have technology that's embedded within our product itself, so we can deliver messaging there. And those things are all connected. And so we can have a view of people who interact with a notification in the UI. Did they interact with an email? And, you know, is their business growing in Salesforce? So that's, you know, one part of the kind of digital stack where all of those things are linked together. We use social tools that kind of aggregate everything. And then we publish dashboards. We have Google Looker for that. And we publish all of our dashboards in there. So we're looking at it on a daily basis to get an idea of how things are going. And then over time.
And how important is content as part of your marketing mix?
Content is a huge part of the marketing mix, and I think increasingly so. I think that what we're seeing just generally in marketing is a shift towards social and video, it's reflective of consumer behavior, really. But we still do a lot of blog posts. Index Exchange is very heavy on educational content, in part because our industry is so complex. And I think that a lot of people don't always want to admit when they don't know something, mm-hmm. especially in a complex environment. And if they've been in it for a long time, emerging technologies, nobody wants to admit that they don't know enough. And so it's really important to us that we help the rest of the ecosystem and our partners really understand the nuances that they need to understand in a way that's simple for them. So we launched a video program called Index Explains last year, and it is a really successful program for us where we're kind of breaking big concepts down into very simple, you know, 5-minute yeah. or so videos that we're launching. And that has become a resource for a lot of customers. And what's interesting, I was just looking actually at the data yesterday, and a lot of the basic, you know, what is streaming TV, as an example, has a ton of viewership on YouTube. Not as much on our site, but on YouTube, it's massive because so many people are Googling and then going to the content because they just don't know.
And that learning and that training becomes a marketing platform,
absolutely.
Right? It's a you know, you're educating the market. You know, in a fast moving world, how else are we gonna build, you know, the talent of tomorrow? It's a talent acquisition tool.
Yes, it's a lot of things. I mean, as a marketer, if you're not thinking about all of the use cases in a way where it is absolutely a talent acquisition tool. We think about that from an employer brand perspective, but I think, you know, the primary goal being, let's help all of our partners and customers understand this stuff so that we can all move forward together. But the ancillary benefits are also massive.
Because I believe you have this within your mandate, right? Is your title includes learning or training?
Learning and development.
So, and it's great that you kind of brought that up because I was going to kind of zero in on that sort of part of your role and sort of talk about sort of so we've got kind of the great work you're doing there. How are you then kind of extending that kind of into your teams and into the organization itself?
Mm-hmm. The I think learning and development doesn't often sit within a marketing leader.
No, it's quite rare. That's why I'm really interested. Yeah.
And so I often correct people, I think, when I'm interviewing or something else, they think it's under marketing. And I'm always pretty clear to say these are two separate organizations and I happen to lead them both. It started at Amazon that it became official for me, where I started out leading product marketing. And then at some point they said, well, can you also lead the sales training specifically? And sales training was onboarding new salespeople. It was training for new products that were being launched or existing products. And so there was very much a product slant to that, you know, training component. But over time it grew to customer training, to soft skills training, because what you quickly realize, I could train you on the ins and outs of streaming TV if you're a salesperson. If you are not good at presenting, if you don't have all the skills you need in negotiation, you know, there's a number of, if you can't write an email simply, it becomes really difficult. And so you actually have to train holistically to really get the best out of people and to have them grow in its entirety. Knowing the product doesn't mean you're a good salesperson. And so that's kind of how it evolved. And when I joined Index and they were just building out more learning and development programs, I had all of this pretty large-scaled experience. By the time I left Amazon, I was leading all of the new hire orientation for everyone in ads. We had product. It was way beyond sales at that point and with customers. And so at Index, I think, you know, our CEO is interested in my experience in leading learning and development. And I just believe it's so fundamentally, holistically about evolving people and not just focusing on one skill or the other if you expect them to grow professionally.
And I guess with also your, you've obviously got real depth across kind of all parts of kind of what is critical in an org. But then you've got that layer of almost what makes great content? What is a great narrative? What is a great story? And certainly, like for me, like the big moments in my life have been where I found someone, be that a mentor in more recent years or a teacher in earlier years, that really told something in a way that just enabled me to get it right. And if you've got that lens as well, and if you're kind of shining that on to kind of the talent of tomorrow and developing your people, that's a really powerful kind of mechanism.
Yeah, and it's also the empathy maybe is not the right word, but it's, if I go back to my experience, it's in the, if you think about the customer or the person on the other side of the conversation, even, I think that's where those skills kind of tie in together, because then not only are you telling a story, but you're telling it in a way that the other person will understand and be able to internalize themselves. So, and those stories can be very different the way you articulate them to a salesperson versus somebody in product.
Or an engineer.
Or an engineer.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we think about our customers a lot in the same way. And so I think in some ways Index Explains is a very almost ubiquitous way of telling and educating people, no matter what level you are or where you sit within the ecosystem. But going back to your question about how do you prioritize or think about your customer sets, that's where we do think about what is their motivation. So, you know, some of the challenge for my team is that when you create a piece of content, if it's going out through commercial teams, for example, we have to create multiple versions of that content if they're speaking to a DSP, if they're speaking to a publisher, if they're speaking to an agency customer.
Fascinating. And when you're here at Advertising Week and you're walking around and you're meeting with your partners and your customers and so on, what are you hearing right now? What's like number one, two, three on their list right now? And then how, you know, does Index then kind of, you know, listen and respond and reflect that back?
I think right now people are looking for innovation. I think that, you know, I hate continuing to reference the pandemic. I'll be excited when I don't do that anymore and that it's been gone so long. But I do feel like events like Advertising Week this year, in totality of all the conferences I've been to, has felt the most vibrant, the most sort of connected,
yeah,
where people are really seeking each other out.
You know what I think it's like? It's like, it's really interesting you say that, because I want to kind of, yeah, I want to see what you think about this. But like the way I think of it is, and I'm the same about the C word, as I kind of call it, right? And it's like, oh, are we ever going to stop? But I also think it's almost like a kind of a tree, you know, like the rings of a tree.
Yes.
And it's almost like we're in a certain kind of ring, uh-huh, around the tree, sort of like, so it's almost like, you know, contextualize that, as you said, you know, like contextualize that, how is it shifting? And as you said, the vibrancy thing, mm-hmm. for me, that's great because I'm thinking, okay, that's part of this ring that we're in now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, are we moving towards the center? Is that what your vision is?
I hope so. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, so the vibrancy is there to me, the desire to connect, where I'm seeing a lot of partners reaching out more frequently and mm-hmm. wanting to get together in person. Mm-hmm. I think that there has been a lot of value in live conversations and brainstorming. So even at Index within the past, I would say 3 weeks, we've had really long meetings with partners and potential partners. 3-hour meetings, wow. 2-hour meetings in offices, and really going as a deep. Moment of discussion. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And it's not just, I think one thing that Index does really well, and you know, I'm using them as like a third party in a way because I haven't been at Index forever, but I think Index does really well is listening to customers and co-developing solutions. And so I think we talked about this a little bit before the podcast, but you know, Index launched a new platform at the end of 2021, and 2022 spent the time learning about streaming TV more deeply. We weren't in streaming TV prior to that. And what was interesting about being second, third, fourth mover advantage, however you want to call it, it was already a competitive market, is that we were able to listen to enough people and form a picture of what was missing in the existing infrastructure that wasn't being solved for by anyone because they've had their solution out in market for a while. And so Index was in a lot of ways able to build into the future for all of the gaps that potential solutions that were already in place had, and started to leapfrog some of those solutions to think, well, how do we do it differently? What do we need to innovate on to make sure that we're leading and future facing so we can be second mover, but we'll be a fast leader? And so that's kind of been the way that Index has operated for a long time. And so what I'm finding is now that we've returned and, you know, conferences like Advertising Week, it's just people are coming out of the woodwork. People that we've worked with for a long time in different capacities are now coming. What is Index doing now? And how can we start to build together? And that's a little bit different, I think, than the closed-offness, I would say, of a few years back.
I think that's when you have a real partner kind of relationship, right, rather than a kind of customer kind of, and you know,
that's
sort
a
of
great
a,
point.
yeah and what's been the impact of that approach? You know, tell me about, you know, how's that product doing?
Yeah, so we did so streaming TV is you know, such a fast growing part of our business. That was a big channel to grow from scratch, and it's you know, half of our business is in streaming TV.
Wow.
Really massive opportunity within a short period of time, and we're really putting our eyes on the next innovation in streaming TV, which is live events. It's a very complex way to programmatically transact, and so that's something that we're spending a lot of time. We're co-authoring standards around live events and streaming, which should be a really interesting evolution over the next few months. And, you know, we launched a product called Marketplaces at the beginning of January in closed beta. That is our fastest growing product we've ever had. And that is really about building an ecosystem of partners. And so we've been, launched that in January. That's what a lot of our conversations are today, is how do we quickly onboard new partners, their data providers, their curators, their AI companies into Index, and so that we can start to add more value within the supply chain as efficiently as possible. And so that's something that's new that's coming up. And we're learning about use cases from potential partners every day, which is kind of exciting. They're bringing things to us saying, hey, can we do this together? And I think the sky's the limit. There's a lot of opportunity there.
That's great. And leads me to my next question. It's the 20th anniversary of Advertising Week this year, right? So I want you to kind of now kind of fast forward. You know, we're sitting here, maybe it's kind of, you know, sort of, 2044 or whatever. We're kind of looking at the 40th. Tell me a little bit about kind of how the markets, you know, you see kind of evolving and moving on the back of that sort of last point.
The first thing I'll say, because I also am invested in sustainability efforts, I think 2044 seems like a date that we should be looking towards, mm-hmm. as having most of the companies here today have SBTI targets set. We are on a path forward together as an industry to reduce our carbon footprint. That's like my biggest probably wish, because I think we don't have that much time. And that's far enough out that we should all have made a ton of progress collectively as an industry by then. So that's kind of my number one. It's not necessarily technology.
I love that because you read my mind because I was literally going to ask you about that part of your role and title, and you've just kind of answered it. I'm going to dig in now because I think it's a great topic. Are we doing enough? And what more do we need to do now?
I think we're trying to do enough. I think that what's been really a good thing to see, there's a lounge here in Advertising Week, and Ad Net Zero and a lot of the sustainability partners really had a lot of content the past few days around sustainability efforts. There is a really nice coalition of companies that are now coming together very consistently through organizations like Ad Net Zero or IAB or others that are really working on progressing. And I think the sustainability framework that Garm produced, I was in London a couple of weeks ago and met with a number of agencies and technology providers, companies like Scope 3, also that are working towards a better future. And I think it takes the collective to make progress here. It's one of the things that I keep saying, you know, this is not an area to compete in because it's an area to collaborate, because if somebody loses, actually we all lose. And so it's really important on this front that we all work together towards the end goal. And so I think that there's a lot of momentum that's been building around this. You could argue you can never doing enough fast enough, but I think that there is real effort across a number of different types of companies, and it's going to take all of us to get to the goal. If a lot of us back out, then none of us will reach the goal. That's the reality.
And what are you doing as Index, like specifically, what's baked into to kind of, you know, how you're operating now?
We're in the process of determining what commitments we're setting. And so we, a couple of years ago, really took a look at what were we already doing around sustainability and how do we think about and organize that? And we kind of broke it down into a few pillars. One is obviously our data centers, which, you know, really are probably the larger portion of our carbon emissions. We looked at our product and technology. You know, when I mentioned that we launched a brand new exchange a couple of years ago, it came with a bunch of efficiencies in carbon load and you know, how much more advanced the technology was and much more efficient it was. We looked at our industry collaboration with different types of groups that we then start to learn from and align ourselves towards so that we can create common goals. We looked at our employee programs, you know, volunteer days, donation matching, things that we were doing to support our employees to help with sustainability goals overall. And then we looked at our operations. What swag do we use? We use all B Corp certified swag. We looked at LED, you know, buildings that we have our offices in. And so we looked at them from those five dimensions. And then we onboarded a platform that helps us to measure all of our carbon emissions across the entire company. And that's where we are today. So right now we're working on creating plans on reduction. And so that's using the 2023 as our baseline. And then we'll see where we go from there. But that's the process that we're in currently.
That's really great to hear. And I love the whole idea of you know, bringing everyone with you and there is no plan B, right? There is no plan B. So thinking about sort of, you know, with your L&D hat on for a moment, the skills sort of that are kind of absolutely critical to the next generation of Index. What you know, from all of your kind of hugely valuable kind of, you know, experience to date, what for you are kind of the real critical skills that we need from the next generation?
I'm going to reframe it a little bit because I really pay attention to behaviors and not skills. I generally think that skills can be taught. Behaviors are really hard to teach or to change. And so we kind of look at our core values as one of those things. And those are inherent. Support each other, it matters. You're either a person who is giving and supportive that's a hard one. That's a hard one. Build trust. It's a hard value to teach on. And then from a behavior perspective, I look at things like ownership. I think that's incredibly important no matter what role you're in, to feel empowered and feel like you own something and you're responsible for seeing something through. That is a behavior that is really difficult to teach. But if everyone had this sort of sense of ownership, a lot of things would get done very well. I think the other thing is curiosity. there's not a great replacement if you're not curious about the world around you or the people that you're working with or the people that you're serving. And curiosity can fuel a lot of innovation and optimization over time that, again, is a hard thing to teach, but is invaluable if you have that. Integrity, high standards. So these are things, again, more on the behavior base than skill base, which I think I can teach a lot of people how to send an email. Or you can teach people how to write content. If they're not great, there are tools for that to help them. But the behavior side, the human side of things, I think are really difficult.
Thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer.